Friends, good evening, and welcome to our service of worship for this evening as we gather together on this Ash Wednesday for the beginning of another Lenten season. It is my pleasure to welcome you to St. John's Presbyterian Church, and it is nice to be working ecumenically with my colleagues in ministry to have this service this evening. It is always good when we, the church, can gather together and show the unity of the Spirit. A couple of brief announcements as we are preparing for worship. At the appropriate time, you will be asked to come forward for the imposition of ashes. For those who perhaps are uncomfortable with that, but would like either to come forward but either not receive ashes, or you can ask to have them on your hand. If you hold out your hand, that's where they're going to go. If you go like this, we will simply say the words for you, but for everyone else, ashes will be imposed. So that is up to you to make that choice. For those who came up and were brave enough to dare the stairs, if you wish to go down via the lift, we've arranged for that at the end of the service. The lift is in the McClellan room, just behind the sanctuary on the far side. So someone will be there to make sure that you get down. And finally, the last thing is that during the period with the reading of scripture and meditations, there is a refrain that we will sing through with each of the meditations. That refrain will be sung seated. As is our custom here at St. John's, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign to us that Jesus Christ is the light of the world and that we as his followers seek to walk in his light. As we enter into the presence of our Lord this day, let us stand and say together the call to worship as it appears before you on the screen. We come to worship God as the Lenten season begins, aware of our frailty and our failings.
We come seeking God's mercy, acknowledging our mortality.
Having received the waters of baptism, we are marked now with ashes. Let us pray. God of our salvation, we long to be reconciled to you. Help us to clear away any obstacle that prevents us from accepting the grace of Christ. No matter what we face in this life, increase in us knowledge and patience, kindness and holiness of spirit, genuine love and truthful speech, so that by the power of God at work in us, we may live even as we are dying and rejoice even in our sorrows. Though it may seem that we have nothing, if we are reconciled to you, we possess everything. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn for this evening will be new for many of us, but because we don't often sing Ash Wednesday hymns, but we sing the hymn, Sunday's Palms Are Wednesday's Ashes. The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screen.
God desires truth in the inward being and receives a broken spirit, the contrite heart, seeking abundant mercy. Let us confess our sins before God. Let's pray together. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy on us. We have many treasures on earth that we hold too dearly, that we withhold from others in need. When we sin against neighbor, condone injustice, and quarrel with one another, we sin against you. Forgive us, we pray, for we are broken in spirit. Do not see us for our faults, and do not go away from us. Keep us always in your presence, that we be restored to the joy of your salvation. Sustain in us a willing spirit to treasure what you desire. Then our hearts will be opened in joy and gladness. In Jesus Christ, our treasure, we pray. Amen. According to God's steadfast love, according to God's abundant mercy, God does not pass judgment on us, the judgment we deserve. God creates in us clean hearts and gives us a new and right spirit. In the grace of Jesus Christ, we return to God forgiven. Praise God for our salvation.
If you will guide us continually, then even the parched places in us will be like a watered garden. If words of blame are replaced with your word of grace and truth, then our crumbling foundations can be rebuilt for generations. By the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to us and do not hold back. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. A reading from the book of Joel. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming, it is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord, your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. First, I want to say how good it is to worship together as churches. While there isn't exactly a pitched battle between Presbyterians, Uniteds, and Anglicans at the corner of Pitt and Second, it's more perhaps a habit of just doing things apart. And so as we begin a season where the focus is reconciliation, reconciliation with God, reconciliation with our neighbor and with creation, it's good that we begin this season with a visible sign of unity, of being one in the Spirit. A doctor once told me that people change when they get sick and tired of, you guessed it, being sick and tired. 12-step programs talk about people hitting bottom and realizing their need for change, for help beyond themselves. Now, it's not completely obvious in the passage that I read, but for Joel, in the Old Testament, it was all about grasshoppers. Well, specifically, a plague of locusts that got everyone's attention. That was that army marching across the land, destroying everything. In the prophet's mind, the locusts and the destruction they brought were not simply natural phenomena. The plague was God's army, a consequence of human sin. Now, we might take issue with Joel about his image of a cruel and punishing God sending an army against his people. But our theology and our science tell us that everything is connected. Everything in life, everything in the world is connected. Our Lenten call to repent and return to the Lord touches every aspect of our lives. From the state of our soul, inwardly, to the care of our neighbor, both next door and on the other side of the planet, and stewardship of the land, water, and air, and all creatures, great and small. Everything is connected. Now, there's a way of thinking about that that could make the call to positive change for the sake of the kingdom seem daunting and overwhelming. If everything is connected, do I have to change everything all at once? How could I possibly do that? But connection, community, and communion mean that positive changes have a ripple effect. Think of a body of water when a rainstorm appears. The little drops begin to fall down, and soon little ripples are moving outward, and that great face of the water is moving mightily with all those little ripples. So too, our response to God's call in the world that He loves. We are like those little ripples of love and faithfulness. Little ripples that ultimately will move the world. Now, the book of Joel is not a long read. And if you were to read it from beginning to the end, you would find some pretty dark moments. But it's ultimately hopeful. Like so many of the Psalms and stories in the Old Testament, they acknowledge darkness in the world and darkness inside ourselves, and yet then move to a profound affirmation of hope. An affirmation of hope in God's power working in us, doing more than we can ask for or imagine. God's power to forgive, heal, and renew us when we turn away from our idols and our egos and return to the source of life. The ash we use in our service this evening, as we sang in a hymn, is made from the palms from Palm Sunday. It is our confession that we've fallen short of honoring the reign of Christ, fallen short of honoring Christ as our King, honoring Him in our lives, in our churches, and in the world. But we receive the ashes in the shape of the cross. It is a profound sign of hope, for we are forgiven and forgiving people as we follow Christ. It is out of love and compassion that we serve Him, not out of fear. It is out of trust that Christ is a light that no darkness can extinguish. We live in hope, hope for ourselves and hope for a world overshadowed by darkness. May the cross we receive on our foreheads be seen in our daily living tomorrow and each day thereafter. Amen.
Yeah.
friends, listen for God's word, as it has been given to us in Psalm 51, reading verses 1 to 17. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We've just heard is a psalm of brokenness. The tradition behind the psalm is that this is the psalm that David declares after the death of the child that David had fathered with Bathsheba. It is a story of brokenness. If you've forgotten the story, David covets this beautiful young woman that he spies bathing on the roof of her house from the high reaches of his palace. And in due time, David takes to himself Bathsheba, the wife of his general Uriah. When she conceives a child, David seeks to bring Uriah back home to make it seem as perhaps the child was Uriah's. But Uriah would not lay with his wife while his soldiers were in the field in battle. And so, in treachery, David has Uriah killed. And then the child is born, and the child dies. Broken. Everything about the story of David and Bathsheba and Uriah and the child is broken. Have mercy, O God, according to your steadfast love and according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgression. It's not beautiful poetry. It is poetry that is to be screamed aloud from our deepest need. Broken. Broken were the relationships that David had with his trusted generals, with Bathsheba, with the kingdom. Broken was the relationship that David had with his God. It's interesting to note that there's no mention of Uriah or Bathsheba in this text, only God. But the law of the Lord had been given as a marker to the people of God, as proof, as the people of God lived it out, that they were different from other people, that they were the Lord's. And so with every transgression that David committed, he broke down and ate away at that relationship that he had with his God. Create in me a clean heart and put a new and a right spirit within me. It's interesting to note throughout this psalm that all of the badness, all of the depravity, all of the transgressions belong to the speaker. They belong to us. And all of the mercy and all of the hope, all of the opportunity for a new life belongs to a God who gives it freely to us. As we come this night, we remember the mercy of God and we wrestle with the fact that we are broken. It's not something that we're keen to talk about too much or admit too freely, that we are flawed and that we stand in need of the help of others. The society around us wants us to be self-made people, independent, on our own, strong. Don't apologize. Don't look back. Don't say sorry. Move forward at any cost. But we come remembering that any good that we have is not from us, but is from God. And any hope that we have that new life may grow in us happens because it is a gift from our God. And so, like David, who sat in ashes and wept at the death of his child, we come to sit in ashes and to remember our brokenness and to turn to God for life. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 to 6 and 16 to 21. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, at the beginning of Lent, we often talk about spiritual practices. The tradition I grew up with is to give something up for Lent. Newer traditions might invite us to take on a new practice or discipline. In Matthew's Gospel, we find the practices of fasting and praying and making generous donations. However, as we talk about these spiritual practices, especially today, in some circles, it almost feels like a competition. What are you giving up for Lent? Am I giving up more than you are? It's here that I remember Jesus' words in Matthew's Gospel. Do it without fanfare. There's no need to post this part of your journey all over TikTok and Instagram, Facebook and Snapchat. This isn't a fashion show of holiness. This is between us and God. It's a time to go deeper. It's a time to remember that we are God's beloved children. And there is nothing that we can do, no spiritual practice that we can undertake that will make God love us any more or any less than we already do, or that God already does. This is a time to explore how God is inviting us to live out our identity as God's beloved children. Far from the carefully curated content of social media, these Lenten moments, well, they're not always pretty. If we're honest with ourselves, I mean really and truly honest, as we go through these spiritual practices, we might find parts of ourselves that we want to keep hidden from everyone. And that includes ourselves, and that most certainly includes from God. We might find a call to step outside of our comfort zone and try something new. We might find the invitation to make peace with the situation in our past. Well, I don't know about you, but I can guarantee you that for me, it's far easier and far more comfortable for me to give up chocolate for 40 days than to take on any of those questions. And if you know me, you know that's a hard thing for me to do. However, if we take that risk, we might also find grace. We might also find hope. And we might also find new life taking root. We know that Lent, and really all of life, ends with resurrection. this Ash Wednesday finds us at the start of a new leg of that journey. The question is, how's that journey going to look as we travel upon it? So as you consider that question, I'd invite you to listen to this poem entitled At the Start, written by Reverend Sarah Speed. So she writes, "Is this the fast I choose? Will I wake with the sun each morning? Will I start with thank you? Will I peel back the cage around my frame to let you in? Or will I get too busy? Will my Bible collect dust on the shelf along with my journal, along with my sense of self? Or will I roll back the stone and wade in? Every new season beckons something of us. Attention, beauty, the chance to create. This season is no different. So like moths to the light, will we find our way toward God? Or will we hover, circling fake suns? I am seeking something deeper. I am kicking off my shoes. I am starting this season on holy ground." So may we start this season on holy ground. Bow our heads before you, O God, aware of our sinfulness and our shortcomings, remembering our baptism, the watermark of the cross upon us. We also receive this ashen cross upon our foreheads, another sign that in life and in death we belong to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and coming again, we pray. Amen.
Let us pray for the needs of the world, saying with each petition, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, as the ordinary season now turns to Lent, we pray that you will guide us in the days ahead. As we journey with Jesus Christ, give us an abiding sense of your presence, an unguarded sense of ourselves, and an awareness of the needs of this world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Of our accomplishments and plans, the changing nature of even our closest relationships, grant us patience in suffering and healing from our guilt. Give us, in equal measure, humility and hope in our pursuits. Bind us in covenantal love that is both constant, yet able to change according to the needs and circumstances before us. Lord, be gracious.
Just God, you call us to loosen the bonds of injustice, to care for those in need, to lift the burdens that bind others. We ask you to increase our courage and our will to work for the freedom and peace you envision and demand. We pray for an end to warfare and conflict, accepting our calling to be peacemakers. We pray for an end to hunger and homelessness, knowing we are called to share our bread and to open our doors. We pray for an end to false righteousness, evil speech, and shallow piety in our lives, in the church, in our national life, and among the nations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Forever God, we pray that your kingdom will come in fullness, that what is perishable will be raised imperishable, and that death itself will be swallowed up in victory. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn is Be Thou My Vision. The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screens, and we would invite you to stand to sing.
now. Practice your piety, not before others, but before God. Give generously, but quietly. Pray constantly, but confidentially. Fast with gratitude to God, and store up that which is in your heart, for it cannot be taken from you. And now may the blessing of God, who hears when you call, be the grace of Christ, who reconciles you, the power of the Holy Spirit, who sustains you, remain with you in these Lenten days, for all your days, and forevermore. Amen.